Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus here in Gahanna, Ohio. For more information about our church, visit us online at threecreekschurch.com.
Man! I got to meet Kate on, I think it was January 6th, and she sat right over there, and it was her first time in church for a while, and so I've just had this front row seat to what God has been doing in her life. And I didn't get to be there when that video was being filmed, so I actually watched it this week for the first time. And I just love what she said when she said that I feel like I could sit in a room with 20 people and I used to feel alone, and now I can just be by myself and I feel surrounded by God's love. Is that amazing? I mean, I just love that, like, nobody fed her that line, you know? Like, nobody was like, hey, say this, it'll sound good in the video. Like, nobody did that. This was her, like, authentic, real. She said she felt it in her gut that she wasn't going to be alone anymore. And I just love that because I know that I'm not clever or smart enough to do that for Kate. Like, God did that for Kate. And so it makes it just feel palpable to me. And I hope that you have a similar experience this morning where what happens in the next 30 minutes or so is just something beyond what a person could do and only what God could do. My name is Joel. I get to be the pastor here. I love what I get to do. We're really kind of a new church. We're about a year old. And our vision is to be a church that helps people find and follow God. And so wherever you are on that spectrum, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, we just want you to know that you're welcome here. And we're excited that you're here. To some extent, all of us are trying to figure out how much God loves us. And I hope that we get just a little bit more of a glimpse of how much God really loves us. It's actually more than you think. And I hope you might get that this morning. You also probably know this, but it is Easter Sunday. And one of the things that I love about Easter Sunday is I love imagining that billions of people around the globe in every country on the face of the earth are celebrating the same thing that we are today. That Jesus didn't stay in the grave, but that he rose again. I grew up in Africa as a missionary kid, and I've had a chance to travel around the world with my dad, and I visited, you know, 17 or 18 different countries. And so I imagine Thailand and England and Brazil and the Dominican Republic and Singapore, and I just think about all these people all over the world and all these different languages all celebrating the same thing. And what's interesting is if you think about all those billions of people, just think about the wide range of how seriously people take their faith, right? Like, you've got people over here that take it very, very, very seriously. And then you've got people on the entire other end of the spectrum that are like Christmas and Easter, and that's it. You know, you've got this whole wide range. But if you were to pick the one moment when the widest range of people are together in one place, it would be Easter Sunday, right? Like, it's the Sunday that everybody gets dressed up and everybody goes to brunch afterwards. And it's just the Sunday that most of us get together. And I started to think about this week, and I'm like, okay, I want, like, all of them to be able to take away something, right? Like wherever you're at on the spectrum, I want you to take away something, and I want you to have the best Easter ever. So I started kind of putting some pressure on myself, like, I've got to really nail this thing so that they have the best Easter ever. I mean, I start thinking about the people that are coming for the first time, and I'm like, okay, we don't want to go too deep, we don't want to go too long, we don't want to be too serious, we don't want to have four greeters, we should just have one, so they feel welcome, but not, you know, overbearing. You know, we don't want to make anybody feel uncomfortable. And then what was interesting is I looked at one of those connection cards and saw that we asked for all the names and birth dates of your children. So I'm not sure if we really nailed that on not making you feel uncomfortable, but I'm just like, man, we just want you to come in and taste it and see that it is good and just have, we want you to have the best Easter ever. And then I start thinking about all the people that come here all the time. And I'm like, okay, they're probably going to want donuts, and we probably should sing all the songs that they like, and we better give their kids an Easter egg hunt back in the back, and let's make sure we get the good people on the coffee this week, right? Like, you know, some weeks, you know what it is, you know. And I'm like, we want them to have the best Easter ever, you know, let's get the best for them. And then I start thinking about the people who are here for the first time in their life, or the people that are here because their wife made them be here, or the people that are from out of town, and I'm just like, man, I want you to have the best Easter ever. So I start racking my brain, start coming up with ideas. I'm like, we probably should have had a wrapper open, you know? Like, That would have been good, right? Like, we probably should have had rose petals in the visitors' parking lot. We probably should have done more with, like, lasers or something. I probably should either juggle something or draw something to really capture your attention and give you the best Easter ever. And so I'm just feeling all this pressure trying to give somebody something and give it, make it the best Easter ever for you. And then it hit me this week, and it hit me in a new way this week. I'm like, man, is that the goal of this? Is that the goal, that everybody here would go away happy and, you know, satisfied and ready for brunch? Like, is that really what I'm trying to accomplish this morning? And it hit me. You know how, like, when you throw a birthday party for, like, a two-year-old or a three-year-old, or your two-year-old or your three-year-old, and you invite all your extended family and all of your friends over, and you're really excited, but then you spend the whole 2.5 hours, you just want to make sure the drinks are cold and the food is hot, right? And you want to make sure that that nobody parked in the lawn, and you want to make sure the bounce house doesn't blow away, and you just want to make sure that you want to keep the peace between all your relatives as the gifts are being opened. You're like, okay, remember who gave what? Thank you notes. You got to make sure we do that afterwards. And then you realize you get to the end of the party, and you're like, I never even sat down next to my child and held their hands and just smiled for a second. Like, I never even had that moment. Yeah, maybe I'm the only one that ever did that, but I feel like that's something that we might do. We might throw a party for somebody and then forget who the party's for and make it about something else. Has anybody ever done that before? And I'm just thinking this week, I'm like, hey, wait a second. This party isn't for you. This party's for him. Like, this party is for Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of the living God. And I just think even I have come in, and I'm sure some of us have come in going like, what am I going to get out of it? You know, am I going to like it? Is this going to be a good Easter? And I'm putting this pressure on you to have the best Easter ever. And I'm just like, man, what if as a room we consider the person who this party is really for? And rather than going like, am I going to have the best Easter ever? We all just collectively ask the question like, what would please him? Like, what would please Jesus today? Like, how could we sing in a way that would please him, or pray in a way that would please him? How can I, right now, how can I speak in a way that would just please him, so that at the end of this thing, Jesus Christ would look down and go, that was the best Easter ever. Thank you for throwing me a party. I love these guys. Like, that's where I'm kind of coming at today. And so I'm not really going to pull any punches, and I'm really not interested in making you like me. I want to ask you guys some really serious heart-penetrating questions that might make you consider how important this really is. And I also want to acknowledge that the things that I share this morning, I'm just not going to assume that you're just going to take my word for it. I mean, you barely even know me, right? Like, if I was going to drop some major truth on your life, you might want to check my sources. And so I just want to come before you, before I even get into this, and just share with you that I'm only interested in what God can do in your life today. I'm not interested in trying to be the most intelligent person in the room who's going to out-reason you or out-debate you into a faith. That's not going to work. I'm only interested in what God could do in your life. I've seen it happen before, and I trust that he could do it now. I liken it to this. I think, just imagine that there's a man who thinks he is a bird. He is insane. He thinks he is a bird, and he is standing on the edge of a cliff, and he wants to jump so that he can flail his arms that he thinks are wings, and that he will be able to fly. And I walk up behind this person, and I say, sir, I'm going to give you a free choice. You can jump, and you're going to die, or you can follow me down this path to safety. If this person is insane and thinks he's a bird, what is that person going to respond with every time? They're going to jump. He's going to try to fly. He's going to try to prove to me that he is a bird. Now imagine that I have an antidote. I have a shot with medicine in it, and it has healing power that can restore sanity to this person. And so I take this thing, and I administer this medicine, I administer the antidote, and all of a sudden, sanity is restored to this person. And I come up behind him again, and I say, sir, got a question for you. Your choice. You can jump, or you will die, or you can come back down to safety with me. I know the path. What is a person that is sane going to do every single time? They're going to come back down the path to safety. You see, the difference is not in how I asked the question or how I creatively presented the problem. The difference is in the heart, in the sanity of the heart that received it. Does that make sense? It's the only difference. And you guys, I'm trusting this morning that the power of God will do what it will do what it can do in your life. The word of God, this right here, this is the power of God revealed to us. It's why I align myself so closely to this. I don't stand up here and just give you my ideas. I read this and I want to communicate what this means for our lives. I align myself with this because the power of God through the word of God is the only thing that can change a life. This is like that antidote. This is like that medicine that can restore sanity to a heart. I'm not trying to make dumb people smarter. I'm not trying to make uneducated people educated. I'm not trying to do anything other than see blind people see and dead people come to life, and I can't do that. If you spend time with me, you will realize very quickly, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I'm just not. But I love this, and I love Jesus, and I want to present him to you in the best way that I possibly can. I'm very tempted this morning to offer you a version of Jesus that can fit into your life. Because I want you to like him. I really do. Like, I love him and I want you to love him too. And so I'm tempted to offer you a version of Jesus that you can fit into your current life. Like, Jesus wants to be your best friend. Don't you want a best friend? You know, I'm tempted to do that. A watered down, simpler, appetizing version of Jesus. But that would be being dishonest to who I know Jesus really is. In the second century, early second century, so 1900 years ago, Christianity had been going on for about 70 years at this point. And Christianity had started with a small group of people, and it had just grown and grown and grown. And every nation and every ruler kept trying to stomp out Christianity, but nobody could seem to do it. Like, it just kept going. And so finally, 70 or 80 years in, the emperor of Rome was like, hey, rather than trying to stamp this out, why don't we just make peace with these people? And so what he did is he made a statue of Jesus Christ and he put it in the Pantheon. The Pantheon is like the Hall of Fame of the Roman gods. In Rome, you could come up with any god you wanted. And if you got a bunch of people to follow the god that you came up with, if you got a following, they would just take it and they would put a statue in the Pantheon. So all the gods that got some momentum, there's a statue of them in the Pantheon. And so the emperor said, let's put Jesus in there and it'll just make peace with the Christians. So he brings the Christians in and he says, hey, look, you guys have arrived. You're legit. Congratulations. Here's your certificate. You have Jesus in the Pantheon. You know, I think for a second that it may have been tempting for those guys to give each other a high five and say, look, man, we made it. Like, we started out as fishermen and nobodies. We hadn't have anybody in power on our side. And now, look, we've got a statue of Jesus in the Pantheon. We are legit, man. And you guys, that is not what they did. They looked at the emperor and they said, tear it down or we will tear it down for you. Get it out of here. We will not stand for our Jesus to be one of your gods. He's the King of Kings, the Son of the Living God. He doesn't fit into your hallway of idols. And in the same way today, I'm not offering you a Jesus that can fit nicely into your life, that can be on par with your other hobbies and your other interests. Jesus doesn't want to fit into your life. He wants to transform your life, flip it on its head in the best way possible, in a way that we would look back and go, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And so, like I said, I'm not pulling punches and I'm not relying on myself. I'm going to rely on this and that it will penetrate your heart and make you really think about where you're at in all this. So let's go to our Bibles. If you've got a Bible, go to Matthew chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, we actually have a table of them back there. And on your way out today, you should get one and you can keep it because it is our gift to you. And if you don't have one where you're sitting, we'll throw the words up on the screen so that you can kind of follow along with what I'm going to talk about. So we talk a lot about on Easter about when Jesus died on the cross and then rose from the grave. And before that happened, for about 3 years, Jesus was known really as a great teacher, as a wise teacher. Gathered a big following. Thousands of people would gather around him to hear Jesus teach. And what Jesus would do is he would tell stories, and in Christianese we call them parables. He would tell these parables, and when he would tell them, he would essentially be offering a story that his listeners could insert themselves into. And as the people who were listening would insert themselves into the story, Jesus would help them understand more about God and themselves and their lives. Some of the stories that he told were pointed at very specific groups of people. Like there's one or a couple of them that are pointed straight at Jewish people. I'm not Jewish, kind of hard for me to relate totally with that one. Some of them were towards the richest people in the society then. Definitely can't relate to that one. Some of them were pointed at self-righteous people. Probably can relate more than I'd like to admit to that one. But all these stories offered their listeners the opportunity to insert themselves in the story. And what's really, really fascinating about the one I'm about to read is that this one, everybody gets to insert themselves. The story includes everybody on the earth. Every single person can insert themselves into this story, find out more about yourself, more about God, and more about your life and what really matters. So Matthew chapter 13, this is one of Jesus' greatest stories, and I'm going to tell it to you this morning. It says this in verse 1. It says, later that same day, Jesus left the house and sat beside the lake. A large crowd soon gathered around him, so he got into a boat. Then he sat there and taught as the people stood on the shore. He told many stories in the form of parables, such as this one. So Jesus told a lot of these, but a lot of Bible scholars say that this was actually the first parable that Jesus ever shared. And from what I'm gathering from the first couple of verses is Jesus kind of went down with a small group of people to the edge of the lake. But when people find out that Jesus was teaching, more and more and more people started coming out from their houses. And it got to the point where there were so many people that somebody couldn't see or somebody couldn't hear. And so Jesus gets in a boat and just kind of drifts off the shore a little bit. And so lining the shore are hundreds of people listening to Jesus tell this story. And again, as I read this, I want you to try to figure out who you are in this story. This is what Jesus said. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seeds. As he scattered them across the field, some seeds fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate them. Other seeds fell on the shallow soil with underlying rock. The seeds sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plants soon wilted under the hot sun. And since they didn't have deep roots, they died. Other seeds fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much has been planted. Can you see who you are in that story yet? You know, a lot of times when I read a story in the Bible, it can be very difficult to understand. A lot of times I read things that Jesus says, and I'm like, that is difficult for me to grasp at first glance. And these people, when they heard this story, all those people that were on the shore, at first glance, they were a little confused. And so it led them to even ask Jesus, Jesus, what does this mean? And Jesus doesn't row his boat away and say, good luck, figure it out. He says, I'll tell you exactly what it means. And if you skip down in your Bibles to verse 19, Jesus doesn't leave him hanging. Jesus explains the whole thing. In verse 19, it says this. And again, try to think about who you are. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy, but since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on the good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. I'm wondering if you can tell who you are in the story. Let me give you a couple hints. You're not the farmer, and you're not the seed, and that leaves you being the dirt. You're the soil in this story, and that's why everybody can insert yourself, because every one of us is one of those four different types of soil, where you've heard this news of Jesus, or maybe you're hearing it this morning for the first time, and how you receive it and what it does to your life, you're based on that, you're able to identify which soil you are. And let me just ask you, so which one are you? And number two, are you okay with that? Like, are you satisfied in that? Is your heart full in being honest about where you're at in the story? And the thing about this parable specifically that I like, that makes this one understandable to me, is how easily I can see the different kinds of soil around me. And you can too. As I explain this, you're going to be nodding your head going, yeah, I know people like that. Like the people who, like the footpath, right, where the seed doesn't even take at all. I know people like that. I know people who have rejected Jesus. I know people who are atheists. I know people who believe in other gods and believe in other religions. I know people who have heard about Jesus and have said, hey, that's not for me. And maybe that's just where you're at. And I would actually also say that I think if that is where you're at, you're not necessarily totally against Jesus, but you're against somebody who said they believed in Jesus and they hurt you. And they misled you and they misrepresented Jesus. And because of that, you're going, you know what? That's not for me. And that's just where you're at, you know? And I know people who are like that rocky soil where the seed takes real quick and sprouts up, but then dies because they're on any deep roots. Like, don't you know somebody who got really, really excited about being a Christian at one point, but has since fallen away and almost fell away quickly? You almost scratch your head going, did anything real even happen in their life? I worked in Christian camp ministry for 9 years. Every camp's full of people like this. They come in, and when it's the popular thing to do, they're all raising their hands. They're all excited about Jesus. But when they go home and something else becomes more popular, they just desert their faith and they just go do that instead. They never spend time reading their Bibles or praying or with Christian community. Their faith never deepens. Their faith remains very shallow. And the minute it might cost them something to be a Christian, they go, I'm out. I wasn't really into it anyways. And we know people like that. And maybe, if you're honest, maybe that's where you're at today. And I know people that are like that third group. The one where the thorns, you know, come around and kind of, they strangles those tender plants. I know people like that. Churches are full of them. There's a bunch of them that go here. Where it's somebody who, they believe in Jesus, but they believe in a Jesus that they can fit into the rest of their life, where he's on par with their hobbies and interests. Where really, if you really got down to it, their career, their success, their house, their family, many other things, they're the driving influences when any big decisions are being made. Jesus is just kind of one of many things that this person is interested in. And the lure of wealth and the worries of the world really drive this person's life, not a personal relationship with Jesus. You know people like that. You might be, if you're honest, you might just be like, yeah, that kind of, that probably is me. And then the fourth one, I know these kind of people, the good soil people, right? Like people that love unconditionally and just give generously, and they're patient with their kids and they're kind and good with their spouse and their family. And they have just this, like, you know, almost odd sense of joy in the middle of the hardest things that they've gone through. They can enter into a difficult situation. They can be the person that brings peace into it. They're not prone to anger or rage or addiction, but they model self-control. They share their faith, but not in a judgmental way, but in a kind, loving, inviting way. I know good soil people. I there's a bunch of them that go here. I love spending time with those kind of people. And as I lay those out and I describe those four people, I ask you again, which one do you think that you are? And if you're not sure, you might ask somebody that knows you well, and you might say, which one do you think that I am? They probably know better than you. You know, and then I follow up with, are you okay with that? Like, are you okay with where you're at? See, my job this morning is not to convert you or convince you or woo you to want to be a different kind of soil. But my role up here is to compel you to consider where you're at with all of this. Where you're at with all of this. You guys, the death and the resurrection of Jesus, if it is not true. It has zero significance. But the death and the resurrection of Jesus, if it is true, has eternal, incalculable significance. The only thing that the death and resurrection of Jesus doesn't have is moderate significance. It can't be taken casually. It can't be something that we just do on the side. It's not something that you just fit into your life. Jesus wants to transform your life. Let me just kind of end with this thought. I have a rope here. And I want you to imagine that this rope is a timeline of your existence. Like you're born right here, right at the start, and then this is a timeline of your existence. And I want you to imagine that this rope just goes around and around and around the world, right? Like, spoiler alert, it actually ends behind the curtain. But just imagine for a second that it goes all the way around forever and ever. And this is a timeline of your existence. And this red part right here, this represents your life here on earth. You get a few short years and then eternity somewhere else. Think about that. And what's crazy to me is how much time we spend thinking about the red part. You know, like, we spend all of our time thinking about the red part. And how can I save here so I can be really happy here? You know, like, we just focus so much on this little part of our existence, and we don't spend a whole lot of time thinking about where we're going to spend forever. My Bible says, this is what my Bible says, I'm aligning myself with the Word of God, that what I believe in this red part and how that belief directs my life determines where I spend eternity. And what's scary to me is that we all have a red part, and it all ends at some point. Everybody in here, it's going to end for you. And no one in here knows when it's going to end for you. You know somebody who the red part ended a lot sooner than you thought that it would end. Nobody knows when it ends, but it's going to for every person. And when it does, my Bible says that there's not a do-over. You don't get to think about it again. Like, what you believe in this part determines this part. And I really think it just seems logical to really consider that. You know what I'm saying? It really seems like it would make a lot of sense to me for us to really consider this question as to what we believe and how we're doing the red part, knowing that it will affect the white part like crazy. See, I'm not interested in you talking about me at lunch. I'm interested in you thinking about this on Monday on your way to work, where you consider how this is going and how it's going to affect all of this. You guys, just in case you are confused about anything I've said, you're like, this guy's talking about dirt and birdmen and ropes and what is going on? Let me just be so, so clear. God loves you where you're at. However, whatever soil you identify as, he loves you where you're at and loves you so much that if you want to be a different one, he's the means to do that. The power of God in your life is what would carry you on to be the good soil where there would be fruit in your life and everlasting life waiting at the end of the red part. This is what it means to believe in Jesus. And so Jesus himself said it better than I could. And I want to read one final verse out of the book of John. Jesus himself makes it clearer than I could. And I just want to read you this verse. You think about this. Jesus is the only person ever to have said, hey, I'm going to die and I'm going to come back to life. And he's the only person that ever said that and actually pulled it off, right? And so I feel like we should listen to this guy. If he's able to come back to life. And this is what Jesus says. In John chapter 5, verse 24, he lays it out so, so clearly. He says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. Let me read it again. Jesus says, I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death to life. If you listen to this message and you believe in Jesus and you believe in God, eternal life awaits you. In the life of every Christian person or every believer, oftentimes, most of the time, they can look back to a moment in their past where they go, that's when it happened for me. That's when I crossed from death to life. That's when I was born again. That's when my blind eyes were finally able to see. And oftentimes, that moment is marked by a prayer. It's marked by a prayer where that person prayed a prayer to give their life to Christ. And then since then, their life has begun to be transformed. And so I just want you to bow your heads where you're at. And I want to invite anyone in the room who wants to pray that prayer to do that right now. I'm going to pray it. And if it's you, if you're in here this morning, you're going, yep, I'm in. I want to give my life to Jesus. Then I'm going to invite you to pray it with me. You can say it under your breath. You can say it out loud. You can say it in your heart. God's going to hear you any way you do it. I'm going to pray and I'm going to kind of give some pauses between some of the lines because I want you to have time to pray it with me. If you want to give your life to Jesus today, I just want you to repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I don't want to fit you into my life. I need you to transform my life. I need a savior. I need forgiveness. I believe that is found in you, Jesus. I give my life to you. I want to spend eternity with you. I give you all of my life for the rest of my life. Amen. You guys can look up at me real quick. If you prayed that prayer this morning, if today is the day that God has done a work in your life and you prayed that prayer, man, we want to celebrate that with you like you wouldn't believe. And so we're not going to make you raise your hand or stand up or whatever, but I'm asking you, if you would just write your name on one of those connection cards and just write your phone number on there, and on the maybe flip it over, and on the back of that card, just write Jesus. And that'll clue me in to the decision that you made today. I'm just going to call you or text you and just try to celebrate with you and hear more about what God is doing in your life. I can think of nothing that would give me more joy than to see some cards with Jesus on the back of them today. You know, what Kate said in her video, that's the experience that we get whenever we give our lives to Christ, that we don't sit in a room that's empty and feel alone. We feel the presence of God around us. And I just, man, for those of you that have put your faith in Jesus before, you know what, let's do this. Why don't everybody stand up with me? Everybody stand up. We're going to sing a song anyways. Stretch your legs for just a hot second. Sorry, buddy. You guys, think about this for a minute. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, man. He's alive. Yeah. He is. You know, think about this, Chuck. Think about this. Jesus didn't stay in the grave. He died on the cross for us. He rose up from the grave and people saw him. Like 500 people saw him. We gotta do something with that, man. We can't just take this casually. This is the greatest news that I ever heard. And so we're gonna sing a song together, and I'm asking you, church, to blow the roof off of this place so that in 10 minutes or so, Jesus, the King of Kings, the Son of the Living God, would look down and go, that was the best Easter ever. You know, like it's not about us anymore. It's about what Jesus did for us. Is anybody with me on that? Can we give it up for the Lord right now? Come on. Let's sing together because of what Jesus did. Come on, man.
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church podcast. To find out more about our church, attend a worship service, or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com.